episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
G'day, g'day.
Hello, everybody. And you are on truthmeets.com, coast to coast with Beachy and Verilicious. Today is 30th of May, 2025. What's in the news, Beachy? How exciting.
29th for us, but in the Northern Hemisphere, over here in the beautiful lands of America.
That's it. You're a couple of days off from summer. We're a couple of days off from winter.
Yeah. We're, you know, trying to squeeze into summer. We're every morning I wake up thinking, is it warmer?
Yeah.
But exactly. It's been a pretty cool spring, I have to say. We're not so close to summer. It's still a few our typical summer, though, as far as, you know, timing, our summer doesn't officially start until June 21st. That's the summer solstice. But you know, people, they say, you know, Memorial Day is usually like the kickoff to summer, and we just had that on Monday. But like I said, we're still pretty cool. So
nice.
Anyway,
but we're the opposite here, because we're supposed to be colder, like getting colder, and it's been hot, except for like since last night. It's the temperature started dropping, and today it's dropped. So I'm not in shorts today. I'm in my trackies, but I'm still wearing a t-shirt.
You're stealing our warm down there. They're sucking it down to the other side.
Yeah. Super weird. But well, not really told in the news, though, because we could be thinking that it could be this geomagnetic storm. And I only found out about it because you sent me this info, and then I looked it up, and the internet news was all over the internet news. And I was like, how come we didn't know about this? What's going on, Beachy? Right.
Well, basically what the geo people, whatever, this dude who's a space weather kind of astronomy / meteorologist type of guy, he's been reporting about, we have two high speed streams of solar wind that has slammed into the Earth in the past 36 hours. Basically they're called, it's part of the, usually they call them coronal mass ejections, but it's kind of a bit stronger for some reason this time around, because these, what do they call them? They're just like these balls of plasma that's being shot at our Earth. So it's just geomagnetic, you know, storms, they call them. Energy, sometimes it messes with our electricity or our general planetary environment as far as electromagnetic energies goes. But you know, they keep saying that they're getting stronger and stronger, but you know, it's kind of like, they're watching it, but they're not really seeing anything, you know, terribly affecting us, but, you know, they're just watching it. As they keep saying, well, nothing's really happened yet, but it could, you know, of course, always got to pump it up a little. But basically today, the 29th, 30th, they're just saying that it's just, there's a possibility of being a very strong storm, you know, because of the increased, because of what I understand is like, so when the storms come out of the sun, like these blobs of energy, whatever, usually, you know, it's not directly facing the sun. And at this point it's like, I mean, not the sun, directly facing the earth. And these things are just pummeling out, and it's directly, you know, facing our planet. So that's why they're saying that it's going to be, you know, stronger than usual. But basically, like I said, so far, the only thing that they really have said is that you're going to get those aurora borealises coming down again, where people, you know, usually only see them in the very far north, and they're coming a little bit farther down. So the pretty colors and the, you know, those kinds of things are what people are seeing, actually. So so far, we haven't lost any electricity. I don't know about you guys. Obviously, there have been people here and there spottily around the world that have had some electrical disturbances that nobody can explain. But I don't know if you guys have experienced anything like that?
Well, no, not really, because I didn't really know anything about the geomagnetic storms. But people, you know, you have things, people saying, oh, I've got headaches, or we've had a lot of spray in the sky lately. Mm. And I noticed that when the sun shines through, there's this like a rainbow halo around the sun. And then I was looking up about what the gravity waves, are and all this kind of stuff. They have all these different words for all the way the clouds are forming and what's happening. And when you read it, it also talks about the atmospheric, like pressure, high pressure, low pressure and so forth, that can cause clouds to have, like, you know, those wave effects and all that kind of stuff. But now that when you sent me that info in regards to the geomagnetic storm, I was like, well, maybe space weather, that's what we're going to call it, really, it will have some sort of effect to what's happening here. And I know that we are, like, Earth is pretty much protected with the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff, but it can have effects on things like our satellites. I know that they had effect on the oil and gas drilling, radio communications, GPS systems, you know, electric power grids. And what I have noticed is probably the fluctuation in our internet. So, I mean, if we've got those, you know, loon balloons or whatever up in the sky there, or if we're, you know, streaming thing and it's bouncing off the satellites, then obviously it's going to have some sort of effect when these storms hit.
Well, this there's another report I have here that, you know, kind of says the same thing what I just iterated, that, you know, they're the strongest of the year, extreme ultraviolet radiation. But it said it did, you know, the strongest triggers have, it says, the strongest of the year, triggering significant radio blackouts across Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. So I guess our end of the world is not, maybe we're further away, but it said this flare emitted intense X-rays and extreme ultraviolet. But, you know, you were talking about your friend. I lost it now.
Just a moment before, and I was telling her about the storms, like the geomagnetic storms. And she said, oh, it's not on mainstream news. And I said, no, it's not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. After the break, I'll tell you what the symptoms.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
We are back, coast to coast, and Beachy was just about to explain what the geomagnetic storm was doing to us, or what we were seeing, basically.
Right. So it says here, so while recent activity has produced blackouts and some residual ascension symptoms, such as dizziness and other lesser effects on human consciousness, the region will soon become fully Earth-facing, and this could create some incredible front-facing events that may exacerbate its ascension symptoms.
Ascension symptom?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, it is. I mean, I've heard that being... Ascension means you're passing on, as far as I know from my empath friends, but it says also creating an accelerant for timeline creations and corrections at the soul level. Okay, here it says, when we get these very large events that begin transmitting directly to Earth in the non-physical, it all often opens large energetic portals that can trigger some souls to leave the Earth, typically those who are already terminally ill or physically very fragile. So it can become an accelerant for soul contracts. So again, you know, that's just, I mean, my, I have this friend who is very, what do you call it? She claims to be clairvoyant and can see energies and, you know, kind of a one of those. And, you know, when she talks about ascension, you know, she says, you know, people typically full moons is what makes that a little more accelerated. But that's also
lunar activity.
Yeah, that's also when babies are born. So, like, the portals are open. So, you know, that's kind of another woo-woo subject. But anyway, so going on this, it says, as these regions rotate into Earth's direct line of sight, they present heightened disturbances over the next 12 days or so. So while increased solar activity is typical during a solar maximum, the current escalation coincides with a series of recent power grid failures. Puerto Rico, Spain, Portugal, Bali. We've heard all those in the
news. It would be interesting though, because then it could play around with the airplane navigation system and stuff as well, wouldn't you think?
And we have had a few of those as well, plane crashes, right?
So it's quite interesting, because when we're watching, the geophysicist named Stefan Burns, and he was talking about the overall planetary geometry with Mercury, Kazemi, and all that kind of stuff, he kind of lost me because I was all over the place. I was like, what's going on here? But he was explaining where the planets pass either behind the sun or in front of the sun, and the causing of the disruptions, plus the actual black, what are they called? The sunspots. So with the sunspots, so where they have the coronal hole that which looks like a dark void when he was showing the actual photo in the sun. So that's where the areas are a bit cooler and less dense plasma. So what happens, it allows that plasma to stream out fast at faster speeds, and it sometimes sends impact towards Earth. And this is what his main concern was, is that the fact that the rotation is facing Earth. And so that's where we're copying the actual storm. So he said the strongest one is a G3. And I understand this in terms, because when we have the cyclones, we have, you know, the cyclone 1, 2, 3, you know, category 1, 2, 3 and so forth. So their solar storms are very much the same. So they have categories like G1, G2, G3 and all that kind of stuff. So he reckons with the G3 storm, the high speed, it's basically times two. So it's like it's a double, you know, and the streams of solar wind slams the Earth. So he was like, what they were watching was in a 36-hour period of a G3 storm. So apparently it's dropped back down to a G1 because of the rotation. So I was like, what is going on? That is very interesting. And then I also found out that this is how the Northern Lights and the Australis Borealis and all that kind of stuff is happening, those magnetic storms. So we in Queensland are not going to see it, but people in Victoria, Tasmania, and I think parts of Western Australia are going to be able to see it if the night or when it is, it's going to be good. So the skies are going to be, you're going to have those beautiful twinkly colors and greens and reds and blues and purples or whatever it is that comes up. And they, I mean, for, it was like a, I think they said it was like a one in a like 11-year event or something like that. Oh my God, here we go with the numbers. But now it's more frequent. So it's like so frequent now because I remember they we only had the Northern Lights and all that last year. Mm-hmm. And now it's again and it's again. And I was just talking to my neighbor last week. They just got back from Tasmania. I think it was like last month they were in Tassie, and he said they experienced that the those magnetic that the lights. The
Arborealis,
huh? Yes, and also he said the interesting thing where they were staying because his brother-in-law had everything timed because he was watching, he was getting all the news on it. There's also the luminescence, you know, the bloom in the water as well. Mm-hmm. So he said it was a phenomenal sight. He goes, I was so tired. They got us up at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that, some weird. And he goes, it was so cold because Tassie's very, it's freezing cold down there. He goes, we got rugged up, but it, he said it was like a beautiful sight. It was really a beautiful sight. And to see them in connection with each other as well, like this, this whole phenomenon happening all at once. And, you know, not a lot of people are ever going to see something like that. And it's just, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could see it up here. I'll have to travel down south to go and see it. But it seems like that this magnetic storm is going to be happening right up until your summer solstice, which is about the 21st of June. So that's that's a little bit crazy that we're going to get these, you're going to be able to see these, the magnetic activity in the sky. So,
there's, you know, something, you know, Earth is going through some sort of, well, or not Earth, but maybe just the universe and the sun and all that planetary action is heating up or somehow rearranging, whatever, making a little bit of havoc down here. But basically, it's just what they're saying here is it's, you know, not really going to create significant, you know, destruction or anything, but it will probably mess with our, like you said, our energy technologies. You know, and it said, you know, because it will lead to more power grid failures and it probably just highlighting, you know, where, like in older systems that they probably need to be redone or maybe coming up with new energy technologies, which we could talk about later. I think we have on that on the schedule, but but it just says many of these systems that we're using, you know, we've had for so long. So, you know, maybe it's just their time to get changed into the new inventions that have kind of been suppressed or not presented to the rest of us.
What was the very first one? Was it 1841? No, might have been, can't remember the exact date, but there was before our time with the technology we have today, it was the telegraph. They had the telegraph poles and it knocked that out. So it, I think it works like an EMP. So the electronic magnetic pulse. So I think when we get these sort of things happening in space, like the space weather, if that's what they want to call it, I found that actually, I was like, I like that space weather, where they have the storms and all that kind of stuff. Because it's interesting that outside there they have actual storms as well, but it's different to the storms that we have. But we have this protective barrier because Earth has its magnetic field and because we're on a rotation and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to see how our magnetic field is protecting us in a way as well. And, you know, there's so much this, so much that we're connected to the Earth because when you think about the electricity, gravity, all this kind of stuff, it's really, there's a lot of science involved in trying to find out how things are working and how we're connected and how the animals are connected and all that kind of stuff. So it's a real eye opener in regards to the way the Earth's magnetic field actually works. And I was like, I never really looked into it. I just take it for granted that I'm here. This is happening. You know, I have electricity in my body. It helps me function. I have cell generation and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we take that for granted, like our development and growth of plants, our cellular function, our circadian rhythms, you know, all that stuff is...
It's part of our magnetic
field as well that we have. So when something gets thrown at us from outer space, that sort of disrupts that field, what happens? You know what I mean? We're protected, but there's certain things that get disrupted.
Yeah, we get disrupted too. Like, you know, we were saying about certain people get, issues, physical issues like, you know, headaches or dizziness or sometimes just disorientation. So the last thing I just wanted to bring up about this is that it is expected to remain active through at least 2026. So we will be experiencing this for the next year. So we'll have to keep an eye on it and see if we notice any other interesting things that are not as usual, I guess, or if you will. But also, again, like you said, you will see your inner self change during this particular period also is what they're saying. So, it's kind of everybody's getting jumbled up, so to speak, just like the Earth. We're all on this Earth, so yeah, we will all be affected in one way or another.
Yeah, it's funny though, because like when I was telling you earlier with my girlfriend, like nobody knows about it. Like nobody actually really knows about it unless you've been told in the news, it's something exciting, like that could be told for the South, like, or even Western Australia on their weather channel, you know, oh, you'll be able to see the Northern Lights, Australis Borealis, whatever it is they want to call it. You're going to be able to see this, you know, get out at this time, blah, blah, blah. Then that's where it's going to be. But they're not going to tell everybody about it, you know. And I was like, I'll just put in our show notes here on Discord the actual article about the storm that's coming through and how, and like you said, it's going to be going for a long time. So what is happening out there? Like something that's not as frequent, so say every few years that this is happening, is now happening like on a continual basis. So the disruption of space weather, disruption of our own weather, like what's the trigger? You know, what's the trigger? What's going on out there? Who's pushing the buttons? Because
it's just cycles that, like you were saying, you know, when was the last time that things got disrupted? You know, they call them resets, where, you know, sometimes things are not... am I still here?
Yep, you're still here.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're saying reset? Yep.
I was saying, you know, the resets that everybody keeps talking about could just be cycles, you know, like these things just come in and rearrange our energy systems, maybe internally as well as externally. You know, you have as above, so below, you know, we're all here together, you know, we're all this together. So maybe we are somewhat affecting, you know, all these planetary energies, and vice versa, right? We kind of go back and forth. So, you know, we're all electric, we're all, you know, vibrating and having a physical, you know, imprints on each other. You know, we all affect each other with our vibrations. I feel.
Yeah, but in saying that, this is where we're all connected through that sort of way, you know. So when we're talking about the magnetic field, you know, I was looking also up how they affect birds and how they migrate. They follow the field for the angle and intensity to determine a location and a course. And I was like, wow. You know, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's not something I would really study or look at, you know what I mean? But they're interesting bits of information about nature. You know, the sea turtles, the newly hatched little sea turtles will swim towards the open sea using the Earth's magnetic field. And then the salmon. So the salmon find their way back to their spawning ground, because in them is the imprint. So their magnetic field has left an imprint in their own little characteristics there of their birth river, because how would they know to go back there? So exactly. It's interesting to see how the Earth's magnetic field and how we are connected via this magnet, really, when you think about it. We're stuck, right? We're stuck to the Earth, and how it helps us. Like, it is really interesting to know that information. It's not something I would look into in general. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. So, think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
We're all connected.
Yeah. And I,
and everybody.
I find it fascinating. Like, I love nature, and I, like, just today I was talking to the magpie who was sitting beside me wanting a bit of a biscuit, and I'm like, you don't eat biscuit. And it was just looking at me. It kind of scared me a little bit, because I'm like, oh, I hope you don't want to peck me or something. But it doesn't. It's fine. But it's just one of those things where I'm just looking at this bird, and it's like, it's just right there next to me. And then it's just like how we all connected in some way, you know, and just reading the stuff about how the how when they migrate and all that kind of stuff, like what senses they use and all that kind of stuff. Because it's really interesting that insects, and I think the major one would be the monarch butterfly, where they use the sun's guidance and the magnetic field to travel. I think, is it North America they do it? Where they travel like long distances. A butterfly, like you wouldn't even think that. I mean, it's not something that would come into my mind. Oh, an insect would have to migrate. You know what I mean?
I know, right?
You would think that they have their own ecosystems and they're sort of stuck in one area.
Yeah, they don't even live that long, really. I mean, I have a particular experience with the butterfly, the monarch butterfly. What they do is in the wintertime, they all cluster up together in a tree and wait for spring and then they fly off when the weather gets warmer, because I guess they get cold in the wintertime. And I'm not sure how long a monarch butterfly lives, but you know, some of these, like the bees, only live I think like 2 weeks or something like that. I was reading it's like something really short, and there's just so much information packed in those bees' brains to get back to their...
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com, coast to coast with Beachy and Verilicious. It is the 29th and 30th of May, depending on which continent you're on. And just talking about the actual magnetic field, and there are some geomagnetic storms happening out there at the moment. And if you're lucky enough to be in a position where you can see the Northern Lights or the Australis Borealis and that, well, good luck.
Or smiley faces.
Smiley faces out in the sky there. But, yeah, like, it is, Just thinking about the creatures itself. So when you're thinking about the bees, you were just saying about the bees, I'm only for 2 weeks. But, you know, for them, that's their lifetime. Because we think about our lifetime. So say from birth to about maybe we might live to 80 years, right? So we have, like, that's our sort of lifespan. And then for, like, say for our dogs at the moment, I mean, it could be from, you know, all the way up to, our one's almost 15, so 15 years. But he's very old because, you know, what they say is like times seven, whatever it is. So, but their lifespans are different. Like the way they age is different, you know. So it, does the bee like go from a little one to an adult and like its lifetime is only 2 weeks, you know what I mean? But in its, the bee's lifetime, it could be, it could be 2 years or 20 years. We don't know how that time works for them because time works differently for different creatures.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, you have to remember back in the day, I mean, obviously all those birds and bees and animals, they are programmed and have all kinds of, you know, things that they know to do, and they don't have books. They don't go to university. They don't have, you know, libraries or YouTubes to tell them which way to go or, you know, how long to stay in a particular place. It's like, it's all in them. It's all embedded in them. So it's quite fascinating, you know, that all of that is, you know, inside there.
Inside them, body. Yeah, exactly. And this is why I find it, well, this is why I find it really fascinating with, you know, when we look at Earth's creation, I mean, us included, and when they say, you know, we from dust, we came from dust, we go sort of thing. And basically all the creatures, even the plants are like that, which makes me think, you know, Is that where they started? You know, we started from that dust and then we returned to dust, but we all have the components of so-called dust. You know, so we need copper, we need magnesium, we need selenium, we need all the nutrients, that are found in earth and found in plants. It's all in all of us. Which to me also having the electricity coming from the magnetic field. So somehow it's all connected. So it got me thinking today, is this our connection? Like our connection to the earth is from everything included. So it's quite an eye opener, I find, you know? And then we need the sun. Like the sun is, you know, the sun regenerates us. You know, when we say recharging our soul and all that kind of stuff. You know, for me, I've been like, I'm getting a battery recharge. I'm standing in salt water, getting the sunlight. You know, that to me, and getting all that from the soles of my feet and getting that through me as well. And when we say recharge, you really do feel a recharge and that connection to your environment, you know, grounding ourselves to earth. Yeah. It's so interesting. And then when you think about the disruption, and when we have these disruptions, and when they talk about, oh, it's going to take out the satellites and it affects like the radio communications and all the GPS and electric power grids. And, you know, we now have all these phones which rely on a technology which is up in the air as well. Is that going to affect us as well? But how, okay, it affects our technology, but in that, how does it affect us as well? I mean, it might be minute, but I think there's still studies on that when the Earth's magnetic field is being disrupted. How does it disrupt our own electricity in us? You know, because really we're getting it from the soles of our feet coming out the top of our head, same thing. And then you've got the poles up one end, the north and the south, and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of the way the magnets work, you know, when they say it's polar opposites, obviously. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I just, I find it fascinating. I'm not very scientific, to be honest with you. Science wasn't like the top subject that I ever did. I did do biology and the environmental studies and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, when it comes to all these sort of things, I'm sort of happy to go along with about the stars and the moon and the sun and, you know,
Well, the good news is a lot of this stuff is observable if we just, you know, had less things to busy ourselves with. We'd probably, you know, have all this information just by observation and watching the cycles and watching what happens, you know, on a daily basis in our solar systems, in our plant life, in our, you know, just our general surroundings. Like you were saying that, you know, when you go to the beach and you put your feet in the water and you're in the sunshine, you feel great. And that's enough for me. I mean, it's like, you need to know the scientific, you know, data behind it. You have that empirical data right there in your own.
Yeah. And I feel like that's our imprint. You know, that's our imprint. So somehow we have an imprint. It's our characteristics to have that imprint of the magnetic field in us as well, which wouldn't surprise me. If the salmon have it and the sea turtles have it and the butterflies have it, and the, you know, we've got to have it somehow. We must have it, you know. So it's one of those things. And then what's another thing that we were looking at with about Earth's rotation was an experiment.
Right. Literally
power generation. Yeah.
It's in the air. It's right in the air.
Tell me about it. So Princeton University. Let me have a quick look. Princeton University demonstrated that Earth's rotation through its magnetic field can generate electric power. So I was like, okay, let's have a look. Can we actually? Because I know you can get Earth batteries, right? So you can make Earth batteries. By putting certain things into the ground and then using the voltage and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
There's grounding. So many of those things on YouTube. And I think we also, there used to be a science channel that we used to watch. I think it was Simon Townsend's Wonder World, something like that, where they used to have all the different science things that you could do. And you know, the whole, even from, I think it was potatoes, you know, you could put the things in the potato and make a light bulb like light up with the getting electricity from you know, potato. So for them, they had the cylindrical cell, which is composed of manganese, zinc, ferrite. So they mounted it on a non-conductive turntable, and then they had the voltage and temperature was monitored, and they did this over extended period of time. And so they used a digital multimeter. So what they ended up doing is they had to filter out the potential sources of interference. So it was the thermoelectric effect. So the 60 hertz power line harmonics and the radio frequency disturbances. So these are the other things as well, because there's so many things that go on in the air. We just think about magnetic field. We think about electricity in the air, but they're frequencies, different frequencies. We're talking about radio frequencies. There's harmonies. So there's so many things out there.
What about wind? Wind is a huge energy.
That's right.
You know, you're just standing out in the wind and it can blow you down sometimes. That's energy. That is energy coming at you and blowing your hair around. And yeah, again, observable.
This experiment, they showed in this shell thing that they created, it gains power they reckon the Earth loses a tiny bit of rotational energy, but it's not really, because it was done at a small scale, right? So they said because it was done so small, it wasn't really a noticeable effect on the way that how fast the Earth spins and all that kind of stuff, because we don't know how fast the Earth spins because we are stuck here. So it's not like we're going to go flying everywhere. But they were saying that with the Earth's,
flat Earth people would not be on board with this, but go ahead, sorry.
Okay. The Earth's magnetic field, which is the geomagnetic field, generate in the planet's interior and extends to outer space by creating a region known as the magnetosphere. Right. Okay. Then I also found out what the telonic current. So that's the natural electric current that flows on and beneath the surface of the Earth. So this is like, I'm like getting all this information about electricity left, right, and center. But the thing with this one in Princeton University is they're just trying to harvest the electricity using the Earth's rotation. But they said it was so minute. They still need to work on it. Still need to see how they can generate more and more electricity via that. So it's only very new, I think, experiment that they've done, and they're trying to come up with all these different what they call renewable energy, and you know, using the Earth's rotation is probably one of them. So they've been talking about it, and then they did a paper on it, and really they went into all sorts of other information, which I'm not going to bore because it's boring to me even when you read it, because you don't understand some of the language, but you get the idea of the experiment and what they're trying to do as well. So the Earth battery, which a lot of us probably even experimented trying to get electricity out of the Earth. So who did that first? 1841, here we are, 1841, with Alexander Bain. He confirmed the capacity of the moist dirt and the generating of electricity, which is the Earth's battery. So he used plates of zinc and copper, and then he got the output of 1 volt. So that was pretty good. So, and it was just the whole metals that start reacting. And you know how we have batteries, we have like a charge up one end and it's not on the other end. So it's sort of similar to that. So, you know, where you have your plus and your minus. So the zinc and the copper, you have a plus minus, and then the reaction, you get the electricity. So, and then he's found out that the currents for Earth flows from south to north. So there was a video that I sent you, Beachy, in regards to the guy doing the Earth battery and how he was using his compass, because he needed to find which way he needed to put the plates in, and then to see how much voltage he was getting out of the Earth battery. So that was really interesting. Yeah. So who knows? I mean, we could pretty much harvest quite a bit at the end of the day. I mean, at the moment, I think they're just pushing the solar power, getting everybody on solar panels and stuff like that. But it's like, well, yes, it's, I think that solar and wind energy is a good idea. I've seen, when I went to Washington, DC, the whole botanical gardens that we went to was generated by wind power, and I was like, wow, if they can generate this whole botanical garden area just using wind power, could you imagine, like, if you have heaps of these, what's going to happen? And even with, like, doing the solar power, I mean, technically we could probably have a whole heap of panels out in the desert here. We've got a desert right in the middle here of Australia, which could probably power like a few towns if it's done properly. But I guess maybe they don't want to do it because there's no money in it. Why harvest, you know, wind energy and sun energy to create power when you can...
Well, there's easier... Actually, there's actually easier ways to do it. I mean, solar power panels were obviously what they could control, put out. So you have to go buy these panels, you have to hook them up to your existing power grid. And at one point, people used to be able to, whatever leftover energy that they weren't using, the power company could roll back, and they would pay you for that. So your electricity was pretty much, you know, zero. But now they don't let you do that anymore.
No.
They've also,
my brother just told me that.
Yeah. And they also, the, you know, again, the marketing of this stuff, they forgot to tell you that these panels don't last forever. They got to be replaced. A lot of companies have come in and put panels on your house for free, quote unquote, whereas you just pay them your electric bill, you know, and you know, you finance it over 20 years. And so you're still paying the same amount of money, but you're just paying it to a different guy. And then, of course, at the end of 20 years, you got to replace those solar panels. So it's like, again, another way to make money. So the solar panels are not the answer. But again, you know, it was a good stepping stone to get people interested and, you know, at least thinking about alternatives. There are huge alternatives that, like you said, just come out of the air. I've seen these like small look like smaller than a gas generator that you just kind of hook up to the side of your house. You're not on the grid. You're not you know, paying again for, you know, every month, whatever. You pay for the unit once, and then you're, you know, not beholden to the electric company, whatever.
Yeah.
And these have been suppressed. Yeah, they've been suppressed, obviously. But I did see one actually advertised on YouTube. I saw it like once or twice, and then it was gone. But they're out there, and I believe they're also, you know, creating other alternative technologies, free energy technologies that are sitting on the back burner, waiting to be rolled out. You know, as soon as, we just have to, I don't know, somehow you got to wrestle it away from, you know, the big oil, the big energy people that, like you said, want to keep you on their payroll, the list. paying their bills. Yeah. So, I think it's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, because we have a friend who actually works. He's a rope access guy, and he maintains those massive windmills, you know, but they're not totally independent.
Well,
because I think they're hooked up to the grid and generated in a particular way as well. So I've got to look into it. I haven't really sort of, you know, really looked into it.
We have a lot of those. We have a lot of those windmills here. And what they did was, and, you know, it wasn't like, you know, anybody said, okay, we're going to hook up, like the electric company didn't say, yeah, we're going to hook up all these and use them to make energy for you. But they like sold these machines, whatever. They look like giant
wind turbines.
Propellers.
Wind turbines.
The big propellers out in the field. And so there's a few fields of them kind of in the outskirts that we drive through sometimes. And the issue with those was that, if you couldn't live near those because they generate such a electromagnetic, it causes...
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Yeah, sorry, Beachy, what you were saying. So,
yeah, okay, so
they're causing health issues?
How? They cause health issues to the people who live near them. Like some people thought, hey, great, because they said, well, you know, we'll put this on your land. You don't have to pay for it. But we just want to use your land to, you know, to put these things in. And the people had to move out of their houses because it was just making them ill. That's one thing. And the second thing is that
animal, the birds, if the birds get near that stuff, it, you know, they're toast too. So it's kind of a hazard in that regard. But even if you have them out, you know, somewhere far away from people, once the machine, because they're huge, they're massively tall things, and they just run out. It's like, again, they need maintenance, and it's usually you have to replace them, and they're horrifically expensive. And the people who sell them to you don't repair them. They just say, well, you just got to go buy a new one. And usually the people who own the land are just like they're the people who are running them are just renting space to put them. So the people who are, it's their land, they're, you know, they don't want to be responsible for them. So, I mean, it's just, it's kind of, again, another, you know, not, it just, it doesn't work in real life. You know, I mean, it would have to be a different.
So it's like, because they have these good ideas. They have these good ideas. Yeah. They want to use, you know, the natural source, like the sun and the wind and all that kind of stuff. And now possibly the Earth's rotation, but it's because the money, someone's got to be making money somewhere. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Is it terrible? Like, you know, it's like, well, all these things we could do. I know there is someone in, South Australia who actually pretty much lives right off the grid. I have to find the article, but this person's been living off the grid for so many years. And it's the only one that I know of here in Australia, but I'm pretty sure there's quite a few people are starting to do that now. Even my brother was looking at harnessing, like he's got to get storage batteries to be able to get the solar and then being able to be self-sufficient himself by not using the grid anymore. Like the electrical grid anymore. But yeah, it's just, I think when people want to sort of start doing that, the company is like, well, how are we supposed to be making money? You know, right. It always comes down to that, which is really annoying because it's like, you know, everybody's struggling now with the cost of living pressures and, you know, not only just utility bills, insurance bills, but food bills are now, you know, causing food shortages now with all these weird weather phenomenons that are happening, you know, with the recent floods and all that. That's it just kills off crops and, you know, or any agriculture plus dairy and, you know, oh, it's just, it's too much. Like people are just getting to the point where they're just going, we're sick of it. There's got to be like a solution. You know, there's got to be a solution that's got to be better for us. You know what I mean? So it's crazy. Like we all want to try and do the right thing. And they give us all these, maybe they say they give us these solutions. And then they get people to start buying into these. And then, you know, next thing you know, you're forking out for them instead of reaping in the benefits of harnessing the sun's energy or harnessing the wind energy, you know, to save yourself a bit of money on electricity. But then you end up, you know, being stuck in the same place again where you're forking out the bills. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you are ingenious, you probably, and you live, you know, on your own private land, you probably could figure out a lot of these things on your own. Like if you had running water, you could make, you know, energy from that. Or again, you know, in the with the wind, with a different type of you know, because there are different types of wind machines too. I mean, those ones that they made, the giant propellers, that I think they could have have a different design on that. Because there's, you know, when you see like warehouse buildings and they have like these giant silver turbines kind of on top of the building that swirls around, and those are wind power, you know, devices. I'm not sure exactly what it's doing as far as, you know, how much it's generating or whatever, but that's kind of a type of wind power. Anything that's moving is power, right? You once you get something going, it can, you know, keep going going forever as long as, you know, you have it, you know, what is it, like a seesaw kind of thing where it just never stops. So that's power. And, you know, you could run something off of that. But anyway, like I said, there's many different ways you can do things. But, you know, when you live in a city, you know, that you have to go through the, you know, the permit. This, yeah, and they you know, they got to watch everything you do. And of course, if you don't, you know, you do something ingenious like that, oh no, I can't have that, you know, you're not able to do that because you're not paying us money. So yeah, it's pretty sad that way, but those things are out there. I know for a fact because I've seen a lot of them in with my own eyes. You know, but these, you know, people don't like to say anything because, you know, as soon as they get it out in the open, it's, you know, bad news for them. Yeah. You know,
it's like an ounce of salt per day. If you want to answer, you can jump in. Just Victoria had this desalination plant, right?
Yeah.
And it just went nowhere. They spent billions of dollars on this thing and it was supposed to with the water. And it's don't talk about it. Don't talk about this desalination plant. But could you essentially generate electricity from salt water? Ounce of salt per day, Frank. If you're there, you can answer in. Hello.
Hey, Frank.
Hello. Are you receiving over?
We are receiving, Roger.
Hear you loud and clear.
So there was a gradient of electricity potential all the way up to the dome. It's well known. So you're aware of that?
I was not. And you are the first I've heard speaking of the dome. I've heard some things about it, but I've never actually researched
about the dome.
It. Yes, tell us about the dome.
There's probably a lot of people that don't know about it.
The dome is, as described in the Bible, it's a azure colored glass that covers the earth.
Right.
And so there's electricity. There's a gradient of electricity from. So if you have a copper wire going up as high as you can up in a tree, there is you can generate a current. You can generate electricity can be obtained from that way.
Yeah. So we could, because we're thinking about like if you were to harvest your own electricity, like how much would you need to power like your place? You know what I mean? And the thing is
it's believed. It's a belief the Antiquitec on buildings, you know, the mercury balls and so on, was providing electricity.
Yeah. But like with everything else, they're going to get rid of it. It's like when we have the copper pipes and now they've replaced them with plastic pipes and, you know, all sorts of stuff that's supposed to be, that was supposed to help us and be better for us health-wise has now become, they've changed it around. So,
that's right. Everything's harvesting. Done in reverse. I don't think there's any change that takes place anymore that's helpful.
Yeah.
It's always the reverse.
It's always a reverse. So
have you heard that the latest, the first windmill installed or windmill farm installed in Victoria is being demolished?
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of carbon dioxide it apparently was said to have saved is less than the carbon dioxide that went into its construction. And the massive concrete foundations they poured have destroyed a huge amount of farmland that they can't get back.
Is that the one in Bendigo? Is that the one on that way? Or no?
I'm not sure it is. I think it's called Blue.
I can't even remember now.
Blue Farm. Yeah, I think it's one near the coastline. Something called Blue Farm or something.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while. But
and
yeah,
they make I've a got horrific hum when you're near them. Those things.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, as they say.
Yeah,
who'd want to live near them?
That's what Beachy was saying. Like we're talking about like harmonics and sound. You know, the waves. Yeah. Because when we think about how much energy, like even the Earth's rotation has the energy, right? And we have electricity
to help us function, if you believe that's what's happening.
Right.
I don't believe that the Earth is rotating.
But we'll just go along with what we're talking about. But you know, if we're talking about the disruption though, right, with it, but then we have radio waves, sound waves, microwaves, all these different waves which run on different frequencies
Are you familiar that the first reports of flu and so on coincide with the commencement of electrification that way? So there's a lot of people that believe illness was formed when the first, you know, power was put through using, you know, the power stations.
Yeah, so, well, that wouldn't surprise anyone, I don't think.
We're very sensitive to what's going on in the electrical field around us. We have an electrical field. We have an aura. I think they take photographs called blah, blah, blah photos. I can't remember the name. But the perturbations in the field are certainly, I think, likely to cause, as they say in Star Wars, a disturbance in the Force.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's happening. We're getting a disturbance from the space weather at the moment with the geomagnetic storm that's coming through. Well, that's continually at the moment, but it's pretty low at the moment.
All weather is caused electrically. I mean, clouds. Every cloud that forms has an electrical pattern. There's a charge in the clouds.
Yeah. So it's pretty much everywhere.
That's the way they form.
Yeah.
The world is what you said. It's a dry, wet cell. We operate in an electrical world, a wet cell.
Yeah.
And the
that's how the Earth battery works.
Even what people call gravity is, according to that guy Kenny, whatever his name is, he says that what gravity is actually an incoherent electromagnetic field, which is pulling us down. And I find, for example, I'm very buoyant now. So when I was very large, but not eating much salt, I would kind of sink a bit in seawater. Now I have a lot more salt. I float much higher.
Even though I weigh more
and have a smaller volume, I should sink more than I used to. So my view, yet to be proven, is that a lot of your buoyancy depends on how well your electrical field is working, your personal electrical field.
You're vibrating at a higher level.
Vibrations,
You know, whether it's vibrating or... So in terms of the idea about what physicality is, you know, just to bore you, my view is that the material, what we experience as a material world, is as standing waves of ether. And ether is, again, in my view, when the Bible says, let there be light.
Energy.
And there was light. Light is the ether. Light. So an ether is like a liquid, but you can make standing waves of in water. You know, if you get a cup of water and you start to vibrate it, it starts to make figures inside on the surface at certain frequencies. And as you... in between frequencies, the figure's all broken up again. But at different frequencies, you get different patterns. It's called cymatics or something.
Cymatics,
and you see it in between windows and stuff. And that's what I think matter is. Matter is what we experience as a piece of wood or a piece of metal or whatever is a particular standing wave pattern created by the word of God in the ether.
Sacred geometry. You can do that with sand and sound as well.
All of those things. That's a way of getting a vision. That's how I visualize what's going on. You know, there are at certain frequencies, you know, shaking of those things, you see it. And that's what I think the word of God is. The word of God is the sounds, or, you know, if you like, the godly equivalent of sounds in the ether that create the physical world. Without the ether, nothing happens. And when you talk about the connectivity, we talk about electricity as if we understand what it is. I mean, we describe it and describe its behavior, but that doesn't take away its incomprehensible nature.
Yeah.
You know, we put it in, you know, we say we carry it in wires and so on, but we have got no idea what it is. We just have been able, or we've been taught, how to harness it and use it. But
yeah, we don't actually know what it is.
Away, does it?
I don't think we've been taught how to harness it at all. I think it's been, you know, kept from us. It's like I said, it's all vibration. All life is vibration, is vibrating. As a matter of fact, like you said, you know, everything gets created that way. As soon as you start, it starts with a thought, you know, and then you, it moves here.
And when you talk about we're all connected, you know, the number of times happens now, I think of someone,
yeah,
and they call me, or vice versa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that is going on all the time, right? To the point where, you know, some of the examples lately for me have been so ridiculous that I just think, okay, if you can't accept that there's something supernatural going on here, you're just, you know, you're really just denying yourself.
Well, you want to hear something interesting? How connected we are. My next episode, I don't know if you listened to my show, Remember Who You Are, is exactly about this vibration. That's my,
No, I haven't. Please send me a link. I mean, I've been doing so much, listening. I'm mostly doing Bible study and, you know, law type stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I do understand the difference between being one of the people and between us and that and a citizen.
Right. I love that topic too. I intend to do a show on that topic as well, because it is all part of, again, the name of my show is Remember Who You Are. And,
Yeah,
we got to remember who we are in all those aspects, in the legal sense, in the spiritual sense, and in the physical sense. So, it's all connected.
Yeah, all connected. And you know what? I think that the thing that binds us is what we call electricity.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be something.
It's really more than just electricity. It's electromagnetic.
That's right. Electromagnetic. Yeah. So, and that's what I was saying. Like why we're grounded to so many things is because we're like magnets. We're magnetic. We're stuck. We are stuck.
We have aspects of magnetism and aspects of electricity. And one of the things you were talking about before, you know, the animals that are able to navigate, they actually see those lines of electromagnetic field. And a recent idea that I heard, it was actually from the guy Understanding Conspiracy, Paul Stobbs. He says that the rainbow that God, so are you familiar with the story of Noah and when the, at the end of it, the flood and the
rainbow,
getting back the rainbow, that the Heavenly Father gave that rainbow as a symbol of his commitment not to flood us again. You've heard that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
After the break, the rainbow story is coming.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
So going back to the rainbow story, what Paul Stobbs is putting forward, the idea that rainbow is actually telling us that's the limit of the spectrum that we see now. That before the flood, we probably saw a much broader spectrum of energy in the way that animals can see the magnetic fields and follow the lines. And Paul Stobbs is saying that the reason he thinks one of the reasons that we have had our vision limited to that color spectrum that we see in the rainbow, which is what we all we can see, you know, from the red to the ultraviolet, is because if we didn't do that, we would see the spirits moving around, the demonic spirits. We would see them move around and it would scare us.
The other dimensions.
Well, it's the same dimension. Though. It's just because in effect, if spirits are going to be movements in the ether that are not, they haven't got a corpus. They haven't got a physical.
It's like the wind.
Standing where wave you can feel, aspect to them.
You can feel the effects of the wind, but you can't see it. Yeah. Yeah, but
what
your
a good
friend.
Oh, sorry, that's a perfect analogy.
There you go. But your friend BT, who's the empath, and this is what I also had been thinking about, the people who they say are like, is it autistic or they're on a broader spectrum, you know, the higher spectrum and that. And I think that their minds are probably a little bit more open, and maybe they can see different things to us. Maybe they're receiving things in a different wavelength or different vibration or all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the kind of things that you're sort of pointing to, right?
Well, here's my assessment of it, because, you know, I know a couple of women like this, and they both went to a particular school here in the area in Berkeley. You know, everybody talks about Berkeley as the weirdo place, but they had a very world renowned school that you went to become telepathic, to see auras, to learn how to train yourself to do these things. And I think everybody has this ability, like you said, Frank, somehow it got taken away from us for whatever reason. I believe it didn't get taken away. We just got redirected. We got pointed in a different direction to only, you know, just like you said, we all have intuition. We all can sense things. We can all connect with another person without even talking to them. We could think in our mind, I'd really love to talk to that person, and lo and behold, there they are calling you up. So I think there's a lot of these hidden abilities that we have that we just have not developed. That's my stance on it.
Yeah, so the photography I was trying to think about was called Karelian photography.
Right, right. That's the auras, to see the colors around people.
That's it. To establish the field, yep.
Right.
And obviously they don't appear as colors in our spectrum, in the spectrum that we are limited to, which is the rainbow colors. But I still think it's the same. It's just another frequency of electromagnetic perturbations. Yeah,
but it's so interesting though when you think about so much of it is there, and you know, people trying to harness all these different ways of getting electricity and power and stuff like that. It's right there, and we have these inabilities.
Well, the people that we call wizards,
you know,
the people that we call wizards had that. So the model I work on now is simply that there were after 1,000 years of Christ's reign, you know, all those that were jolly good chaps, they've all ended up at the camp of saints. And those that were left behind were left with all the knowledge. They knew all these things, and they've kept it hidden from them, those of us that came later on.
Right. Whoever they are,
those that were alive at the time of Christ's reign, but didn't follow him. You know, they they decided to not go with Christ to the realm of the saints. They prefer Satan to Jesus. You know, that's the story.
That is a story. So there are people that don't have any belief in anything. These kind of things you can look into as well. Because I know there's a lot of people that may have not even read the Bible or have looked into these different information.
That would be most people, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. In regards to that. But you know,
that was me up until metaphorically a day ago. You know, it's
Yeah.
You know, I was all into the spinning ball the same as everybody else.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the way I look at things is like there's gotta be something that is a creator because of how things work around us and we can see how things are working around us as well. And just the miracles around us, like even us ourselves, you know, and how we function, how we heal and how we can smell and touch.
It's miraculous, absolutely.
And all that kind of stuff. So these are all those things. And, you know, and the creatures are exactly the same. But it's interesting to know, and this is what's binding us, and this is why I find it very fascinating in regards to the earth and its magnetic field, is that the connection that we have so much to what we say is creation, because we are all part of it and we all have this running through us. So we not only have that electricity that runs through us, we have all the components of the minerals and all that from the ground and from the plants, and including with the animals. So it truly is amazing when we have a look at these things. And you know what? Even the stuff
in space,
you know, the Northern Lights, the Australis Borealis, all those kind of stuff, the algae I was talking about, that the luminescence that light up, all this stuff is so fascinating. There's so many things that we probably not even see in our lives that other people have that get to see. Really fascinating. And they're all moments as well, like awe-inspiring moments. And I often see that when I look at the sunrise and sometimes the sunset, and just looking at the clouds and how they form and move, and just seeing how all this works. There's a connection there. And like you were saying, we're all connected somehow, and more so than others. So they're the kind of things that, you know, that you can really tap into. And I don't really think that there's much more than that. I think, you know, you can go into stuff and go, oh, that's not real and all that kind of stuff. But I think when you start experiencing things that you really can't explain, but there's something that you feel inside that sits right with you, then be okay with it. Be okay with it, because this is who you are. And then going back to Beachy, you know, you're finding out, remember who you are. And this is where it comes down to. It's like, who are you? And that should be a question that we should be asking ourselves.
And who do you think you are?
I am Verilicious from Gold Coast, Australia. Oh, well, that's so funny. Yeah. All right, guys. All right. Well,
and how did you pick the name Verilicious?
Verilicious. Well, actually, that was... I had a nickname which started off with as V-E-R-I, and then when I started my soaps, they were really nice and yummy. And my niece's surname, we always call her Delicious. And I was like, oh, hang on. I'm gonna use that last bit of your name. So it really is, it's Delicious, but it's Verilicious, not just Delicious. But it had to do with my soaps that look like desserts and all that kind. So it was basically a nickname with Delicious just chopped off and put together. Yeah.
I don't think she thinks she's a delicious dish, salty.
No. Yeah. No, I don't think so. It was just a name and it stuck, and I used it for my business, and it was fun. So we thought we'd have a bit of fun with it. Kind of goes with kind of goes with a lot of things that I do as well. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a very great, a most excellent pseudonym. Most excellent.
Thank you. All right. Well, Beachy, an ounce of salt per day. Thank you, everyone. You're on Coast to Coast today with all of us. And, you know, that's something to look forward to. Maybe have a little bit of experiment with earth battery. I don't know, have a bit of a play. We sort of did these things when we were kids. Check out those geomagnetic storms. Just, you can go online. If we don't get it on their normal news, jump on one of the other news. It might tell you if you are in an area where you're going to be able to see this phenomenon. Go and take a look, take photos. I think it's going to be amazing. I think people that do really feel that sense of wowness with it. But yeah, it looks like so many things are happening at the moment.
You'll have to use Riders on the Storm as your closeout music.
Riders on the Storm, yeah, quite possibly. we shall see. We shall see. We shall see at the end of the day.
I think that would work good for sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Riders on the Storm.
Frank's going to sing it out with a bit of a tune. Yeah.
He's got it. He's got
into it. This world is born. Oh, do.
All right. Well, everybody will get that song when the pod gets uploaded. So thanks everyone for listening in. And Beachy, enjoy your evening. Hopefully you might get to see something special other than the smiley in the sky. Salt per day. You might be lucky. I don't know where you're situated, like if you could see any of these beautiful magnetic lights that are going to be happening. If you're down south far enough, I suppose. Yeah, it would be interesting.
I haven't seen them out, but I'm assuming that they're the lights from the Emerald City.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. We could be on the Yellow Brick Road to Emerald City. all right, everybody.
And thanks,
all right,
to everyone, you're going to give me the link. Thanks to your show.
Will do.
Yeah. So don't forget,
it's on the truthmeets.com server. Under Remember Who You Are. We'll send you the links.
Yeah. So for everyone else, we're talking about, so don't forget, get on truthmeets.com. With all our shows are there. Just have a look. It will be there. So there will be Coast to Coast there. There will be Beachy's show of Remember Who You Are. Also my other show, The Fitting Room with Vera Lucius. Also we have Esoterics Be Told and the Rick and Rollo show. And we also have some other Truth Meets conversations on there. So get on board if you want to listen to something different and have a bit of fun. Get on the truthmeets.com website. I think maybe a forum might be up, but that is a to be announced or to be continued. I'm not sure. Have a bit of a look. That's where you'll find us. You can message us or not. Yeah. But until next time, everybody, thanks for listening. And we will catch you next time on Coast to Coast, truthmeets.com. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Good night.